Topic for tonight, and I hope we get through all of it because it's a lot of material. We'll call it Kedusha in a physical world. Last week we gave an introduction to Kedusha. Today I want to continue, but try and finish up this topic of Kedusha in a physical world. And here we contrast the difference between Yahadut and Christianity. And the major difference between Yahadut and Christianity is not like many people think, the difference between belief in one God and the kfira of Shilush and the idea of giving a human being godly characteristics, making a human to a God. That's obviously a giant difference, but it's not the most important difference. The most important difference between us and Christianity, between Yahadut and Christianity, is what is it all about? What is life all about? In Yahadut, the issue is deed. Deed. In Christianity, it is creed. In other words, what's the ikar? Is the ikar maaseh? Or is the ikar what you think, what you believe, what you feel, etc.? In Yahadut, it's all about ma'aseh tzvah. It's all about actions. What you do is far more important than what you think and what you feel. The tachlis is what you do. Obviously, your machshavot and your emunot are important. But on the grand scale of things, what really is important is your ma'aseh. You need both. But the ikar in Yahadut is ma'aseh. There is much greater hope for a person who does the right things and his emunot and deyot maybe are not perfect than a person who's the opposite. He's a real good thinking person. His machshavot are wonderful, but all his actions are actions of ma'aseh avera. Obviously, there is much more to say for the person who his ma'aseh is up there. And that brings us to what we spoke about last week, between the kadosh versus the tahor. We spoke about the tahor being a certain darga, but really it's neutral. While the real high darga is the darga of the kadosh. And that is also a giant difference between Christianity and Yahadut. Christianity has no concept of kedusha like we have a concept of kedusha. At best, Christianity wants and looks upon the ideal of escaping from the physical world. To become angelic, to become a malach, to become a celibate, to separate from the physical world, that's the ideal. In Yahadut, it's mamash not so. In Yahadut, the ideal is to embrace the world, to uplift the world, to give the world a divinity, and give the ma'aseh and the physical aspects in life an element of Shammai, an element of Ruchaniyut, an element of Kedusha. This is nowhere more blatant and powerful than the idea and the realm of Yachasei Ish V'Isha. Here it really comes to a head, the difference between Christianity and Yahadut. In Yahadut, the first mitzvah in the Torah is Puru Ravu. In Christianity, the celibate is the ideal person. The person who separates from the physical world and the physical aspects of sexuality. That's the ideal person. The person who becomes like a malach, he's the one, he's the only one in Christianity who can be an intermediary between the physical world and the world of Ribono Shel Olam. It's all got to go through the intermediary of the clergy
and the clergy must be celibate. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to talk about that. Good point. Moshe Rabbeinu is mamash yotze min haklal, mamash yotze min haklal, and not the ideal which it's bichlal shayach for human Jews to strive for. It's not expected. It's not really the ideal lo kam Yisrael to Moshe od. It's not an ideal in that aspect of something that we're meant to strive for. He was mamash unique, and that's why Torat Moshe is unique. But we'll get to that, okay? We will talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, not this week, and maybe next week or the week after. In any case, but it's a good point. But he's not the ideal we strive for. He's not the ideal, he's beyond the ideal. But in Christianity, every man is really meant to be that ideal. That's the highest level. In Yadut, the Moshe, the mashal between the relationship between Ribono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael is the relationship of a man and a woman. Rabbi Akiva says, "Kol asfarim kodesh, v'sefer shira shirim kodesh kodeshim." What is shira shirim? It's a love story between a man and a woman. Sometimes even pretty graphic, and it is a mashal between. Ribono Shel Olam, it's a mashal of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Ribono Shel Olam on a national level and also on an individual level. That's the case in Yadut. In Christianity, everything's looked upon in a whole different outlook. Original sin. Man stems from original sin. Original sin is the sexual union right there off the bat. It started in sin. The world started in sin. And man is constantly trying to get back and to be mitaken that his original sin. How? The only way to get rid of the filth and the dirt of man, the tuba of man, that stems from original sin is through Oto HaIsh. This is what Christianity is all about. And you have to internalize that original, that tikkun of the original sin. You have to internalize that man. How do they do it? Not we, chas v'shalom. How do they do it? Right? They eat man. They eat Oto HaIsh. That's the wafer is his body and the wine is his blood. It's all kind of weird, frankly. But it's all based on a tikkun of original sin. In Yadut, nothing could be further from the truth. We're dealing here with something which is meant to be raised up to a high level. The highest level. And like things that are on the highest level, that are Kodesh Kodashim, they can also be degraded to the lowest level. It's an amazing thing. They did a study. Just think of it. We can all do the same study. Okay? If I would give you a beam, a 2x4, right? You know what a 2x4 is, right? 2 inches by 4 inches. A beam that's a 2x4 across the length of this room. All right? And I would walk across it. I could walk across that beam 100 times without going off the beam. 100 times, back and forth. No problem. I take that same beam and I put it on a 20-story building, connecting two 20-story buildings. Same exact beam. And now, I'm going to try and cross that beam. Now it becomes really hard. It's the same beam. Same exact thing. What was the difference? When you raise something up to a high level, it becomes much more dangerous. It becomes much more delicate. It's much higher, but it's also much easier for it to fall. And when it does fall, if it does fall, it crashes to the ground and really breaks to pieces. If from this height I'm holding something and I drop it, okay, it may or may not break. But if I'm holding it at a 20-story building and it falls, then it's going to break for sure. So as we raise things to a high level, they're much more delicate, they're much more fragile. But realize, it's on a much higher level. In
Christianity, the physical, sexual aspects of life are on the lowest of levels. It's the level which man is supposed to escape from. It's a level which a person is supposed to embrace, raise up to a level of Kedusha.
Okay. Fascinating thing. This is really boggles the mind. I mean, we've heard all kinds of stories in the last 15, 20 years especially about all things that came out about the Christian clergy. Most of it with young boys, okay? But the fact is, throughout history, the Christian clergy was not able to keep up to their ideal. And they did a study in 1990, okay, by a fellow, I'm reading here from an article that's in the New York Times in 2009, okay, Friday, October 16th, 2009. There was a study in 1990 done by a scholar named A.W. Richard Sipe, who was a former Benedictine. And he found that 20% of Catholic priests were involved in continuing sexual relationships with women. And an additional 8 to 10% had occasional heterosexual relationships. In other words, this great ideal of the Christian clergy, 30% of them had, at least 30% of them had occasional sexual relationships with women. 30%. It's pashut, really. Because it's an ideal which is not normal. It's not a normal existence, and it's not an existence which man was meant to do. And therefore, it's impossible. In Yadut, the Torah gives us physical aspects of life, and everything, really, is mutter. At the right time and at the right place. Okay? Every action which Hashem gives us, every physical hana in this world is there for the right time and the right place. And if it's done in the right time and the right place, the right context, with the right kavanah, it can not only be something which is permissible, it can be something which is kadosh. That's amazing. Now, what I want to talk about is a tremendous, amazing mimer in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which really points out that every single action in this world, every single hana'ah in this world that a person does not partake in, says the Yerushalmi at the end of the Kiddushin, atid litenet adim. A person is going to have to give a reckoning in the next world for every single physical hana that exists in this world that he didn't partake in. That's amazing. I have to give a din v'cheshbon for a physical hana which I didn't partake in? Why? Let's give a mashal. The mashal is the following. Okay? I work in an assembly line in Detroit. Anybody here from Detroit? Huh? No. Huh? I work in an assembly line in Detroit in the auto plant, okay? And the assembly line is, right, it's a seretna. What's a seretna? How do you call that in English? Huh? A conveyor belt, right. Okay. So the seretna is moving, and I get a job, and the foreman tells me, you have a great salary here, it's the United Auto Workers of America, all kinds of benefits, great salary. What you got to do is the following. You stand here, and there's going to be a wheel that passes, and on this wheel there are 8 bolts. Bolt number 6, you have to tighten 5 times. Okay, that's your job. Bolt number 6, you have to tighten 5 times. How am I supposed to do that? Here's your wrench. Here's the wrench. As it passes by, there's a guy behind you who's doing a different bolt, and there's a guy in front of you who's doing another bolt. Bolt number 6, 5 times. Got it? Number 6, 5 times. You say, no problem. Anyway, I'm doing this, tightening this for a few hours. That's really boring. 5? How long can you do that? How many hours straight can you tighten bolt number 6, 5 times? This is not challenging. It's too easy. There's no kunz here, right?
too simple. So I figure and start thinking, how can I do this to make it a little bit more interesting and challenging? I say, you know what? I won't use the wrench. The wrench makes it too easy. I'll put down the wrench. I'm going to try and tighten bolt number 6 5 times with my hands. It's pretty loose. I tighten it. And I get pretty good. I do pretty good. Most of them I'm almost really tight. And some of them I'm even completely tight. Okay. I try to move my hands. Anyway, after about 30 minutes, all the alarms in the factory start going off. Shut down. Okay? The whole system is shut down. All the alarms go off. Something's wrong. Anyway, they investigate, and they find out it's this guy who was supposed to tighten bolt number 6 5 times. Most of the bolts are not being tightened. So the foreman comes over to me and says, what's going on here? What's going on? I says, well, I was doing this for a while. It got really boring. I figured I'd make it more challenging for myself, and I would do it in my hands. He said, what? You're fired. Get out of here. Your job is not to make life interesting. Your job is not to make your life challenging. Your job is to get the job done. You can get the job done without the wrench, fine, but you can't. It's impossible. You need the wrench. Let's make it with another mushel, and then it'll be clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me something really, really beautiful. Something which I really enjoy. It could be, let's take an apple, okay? Apple is really, a really good apple is one of the best fruits out there. It's juicy, it's hard, it's crunchy, and it's got everything. And if you think about how beautiful the apple is, how delicious a really good apple is, it can bring a person to tremendous hodah and hakarat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He holds on to the apple and he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Ha'etz. He gives hakara to Ribono Shel Olam. This apple, it's amazing. Not only is it delicious and hard and juicy and very tasty, but it's also a nascent packaging. No packaging company has come close to the nace of the apple. The apple skin starts off green, but when it's ready to be picked, it changes colors and it becomes red. Why? Because if it would be red too early, the birds would get to it. So it's green and the same color as the leaves until it's ripe. Not only that, the skin of the apple is completely covering the inside of the apple, because if it's open a little bit, it oxidizes and turns brown. That's why it's completely sealed, like better than any kind of saran wrap. That's amazing. It's an amazing nace. When I think about all the beauties of the apple, and I give hakara to Ribono Shel Olam, when I'm eating that apple, I'm raising this apple to a high level. Something, a chefza v'kedusha. I've been mekadosh the chomer. Let's take it to a different example, which may be even easier to relate to. Chocolate. I love chocolate. Chocolate's delicious. Chocolate is so wonderful. It's such an amazing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a cocoa bean, to be able to make it into something delicious. With all kinds of additions, it's really delicious. I'm able to get to a great level of hakara to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this chocolate. But you know what? One day I say, you know what? I want to get to a higher level. I'm off chocolate. Because I want to raise myself to a higher level. I'm separating from these things which are physical things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to ask me, when I get to Olam HaEmet, you were off chocolate. You decided that you want to get to a higher level without the chocolate. Did you get to the same level that you could have gotten with the chocolate as you got to without the chocolate? You have to give a din v'cheshbon, a reckoning. Were you able to use that or to do away with that tool? Every single hana'ah in this world is a tool. It's that wrench which gets you closer to the job which you have to do. If you can do it without the wrench, but really do it without the wrench, then okay, you did it. But if you can't do it without that tool, you didn't get to where you're supposed to. You're supposed to get to a certain level of kivatar ribono shel olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us tools to get there. There are apples and chocolate and all kinds of physical pleasures in this world are tools which we're supposed to use to get closer to Hashem. Can you? Kavah Chomer what? Good point. Here is really the tzara. If this is what you mean, this is my next sentence. Okay? Hanaot kufaniyot are kelim la'avodato. The problem becomes, and this is the great tzara, if a person, and let's use, continue our mashal. Same guy, on the assembly line in Detroit, and he has the wrench, and on with that wrench, he's supposed to tighten bolt number 6-5 times. But you know what he does? Instead of tightening bolt number 6-5 times, he says, you know what, I'm going to make life really interesting. I'm going to loosen bolt number 4-5 times. In other words, I'm going to use the kli that they gave me. I'll use it, but I'll use it for a negative purpose. I'll use it for a destructive purpose. Whoa, like was said here, this is really much more common. When we take the hana'ot gufaniyot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, which are tools to get closer to Him, and we use those tools, but we don't use those tools to get closer to Him, we use those tools to get further away from Him. Whoa, that's really, really bad. You're right. That's really bad. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi'el kamocha erech hapayim, He watches when we use the tools that He gave us for negative purpose, and He still doesn't get angry at us immediately, but realize that's the erapayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really, the tool, they're tools for positive purposes. Oy lanu when we use those same tools for negative purposes. Okay, good point. Now, moving on. Everything that we do, listen to this statement. Everything that we do is meant to be avodat Hashem. Every single thing that we do in this world is meant to be avodat Hashem. You hear that? How many people agree with that statement? How many people disagree with that statement? Okay. Not so sure. But I'll explain, because it's definitely a true statement. Every single thing that we do is meant to be an Avodat Hashem. There are two types of Avodat Hashem. There is Avodat Hashem mitzvah, Maisa mitzvah, Torah, Tefillah, mitzvot itself, or Hesher. Everything that we do is supposed to be one of these two actions. Either mitzvah or hesher mitzvah. When I eat, when I sleep, when I'm playing basketball on the basketball court, if I'm doing it because I'm hungry, I'm eating. If I do it because I'm tired, and therefore I want to sleep. If I do it because I want to have a good time and be on the basketball court, then I'm really not serving Hashem, really serving myself. Again, there's a high level. But the ideal is, everything that I do has to be a mitzvah or something that I'm doing for a hefsher mitzvah. I'm supposed to eat in order to give me strength to serve Hashem. I'm supposed to sleep in order to give myself strength to serve Hashem. I'm supposed to play basketball on the basketball court in order to keep my body healthy, that I'm able to serve Hashem. That's what it's all about. Now, that's tough. It's not easy. That's a really high level. But that's the goal. That's the goal. And therefore, when I do that, my time out of the Beit Midrash is not Beitul Torah. It's not Beitul Mitzvah. It's a Kiyum of Avodat Hashem. My time of recreation is not Beitul Zman. It is really that. There's a difference between recreation, by the way, and relaxation. Relaxation means I want to relax, I want to take it easy, tired. That's no good. Recreation means I want to recreate myself. I'm recreating myself. I'm giving myself a new chizuk to be able to move on. Question, yeah, Nate.
How do you like to have fun playing basketball? It shouldn't be like thinking all the time, I'm doing this for Hashem.
Okay, so, no. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to be neurotic. We're supposed to be normal. We're supposed to enjoy. You hear this? We're supposed to enjoy the hana'ot gufaniyot. Okay? When I say you're supposed to eat in order to give myself strength to serve Hashem, but I'm also supposed to enjoy it. And when I enjoy it, I give hakara and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's giving me that joy. And then I can really thank Hashem. It's really supposed to give me simcha. That shleimut of the gufani with the ruchani gives me joy. And that's on the basketball court. That's in when I'm sleeping. That's when I'm eating or any physical hana. Man is supposed to enjoy it. But realize that the enjoyment which he's getting is from Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? And then he's made it into an act, which is an act of kedusha. But for sure, you don't be really neurotic. I'm doing this because, of course, that's crazy. Yeah.
You say that somebody that does every act of Hashem is perfect.
Perfect. In those things that he does, that's a type of perfection. I don't know if it's perfect.
So
that's the question.
That's every. No man is perfect. No man can also do
it. I said this is a very high level. No question. It's a very high level. But it's a level we have to, even though it's a high level, it still is something we have to know what the high level is in order to know where we're striving for, where we're going. We have to know the direction, even though it may be very difficult to get there. And it may be even impossible to be there all the time. Maybe that's what you mean. I grant you that. It's really impossible for a man, any man, to be there all the time. But it is a goal which we should strive to. Just because we can't be there all the time doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to be there as much as possible. Okay? Yeah. Can
you? There are no actions that fall under neither of these. Like scratching my head, that fall under neither of those.
Okay, so again, we're not being neurotic. I'm talking about there are mass. There's another. There's another chiluk, obviously. There is a chiluk of mitzvah, isur, and reshut, right? You want to be mechalik on our actions into three. There's mitzvah, reshut, things which are not asur, not mutar. Not asur, not mitzvah. They're just reshut. They're allowable actions. Okay? But we should strive that all our actions are in this getter, okay? Where it all becomes like an avodat Hashem, as much as possible, as much as possible. Okay, now. Okay. When we talk about avodat Hashem, we're talking about serving Hashem like an eved. Avodat Hashem means to serve Hashem like an Eved. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, and we say, Im kebanim, im ka'avadim. Right? There's two types of avodah. There's the avodah of an Eved, and there's an avodah of the Ben. What's the difference between the avodah of the Eved and the avodah of the Ben? No? Okay, so really, there is Yira, and there is Ahava. Right? What comes first? Yira or Ahava?
Yira.
Always, Yira comes first, then Ahava. Not only because it's written here first, but any way you read it, it's first Yira and Ahava. If you read it this way, it's Yira, then Ahava. Got it? Pretty cool.
Oh, we're on the other one.
Huh? Yira, this way, or this way. Either way.
What if you go Aleph Hey, and then Dalet?
That's backwards. I'm saying any way you read it, either this way or this way, other ways are backwards. We're not, we don't read Chinese. In any case, B'chalofen, the avoda of an Eved is to serve Hashem, no questions asked. No questions asked. What does that mean? Alright, listen up, guys. We have a musag called Ta'amei HaMitzvot. It's a whole literature. Okay? Whole literature called Ta'amei HaMitzvot. What are Ta'amei HaMitzvot? Anybody tell me? Reasons why we do the mitzvah. I'm writing these down. Reasons why we do the mitzvah. Anybody else? Huh? What's the time? What's time? What else is Ta'amei HaMitzvot? The reason why we do the mitzvah? Anybody else? The reason why Hashem created the mitzvah. Reason why Hashem said the mitzvah. Okay? Commanded the mitzvah. All right. Anybody else? Femot. What's your name? Huh? What's your name? Izzy what?
Hadar.
Excellent. You're 2 for 2 tonight. Okay. This is 100% wrong, guys. And this is 100% wrong. Why do we do a mitzvah? Why do we do any mitzvah? Because Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvah. There is no other reason necessary. None. So number one, it's definitely wrong. It's not the Ta'amei HaMitzvot are not the reasons why we do the mitzvah. We do the mitzvah because Hashem commanded it. And we're an Eved Hashem. And we have to do the mitzvah that Hashem commanded. No questions asked. Number two, it's also not the reason why Hashem said the mitzvah. It is totally presumptuous for us to think that we can know why Hashem commanded a mitzvah. Lo machshavotai machshavoteichem velo darcheichem derachai ne'um Hashem. Hashem doesn't think like us, we don't think like Hashem. There's no way that we can totally comprehend why Hashem would command the mitzvah. One second, we'll come to questions in a minute. So, what are Ta'amei HaMitzvot? Let me give a mashal now. And this is a little bit unfair to do this right before dinner. Okay? But, in any case, let's imagine here I had a set up, an amazing grill, barbecue, gigantic barbecue, with the most succulent, thick steaks, rib steaks, okay? Thick rib steaks for everybody to go around. Delicious, wonderful, grilled to perfection. All here on this gigantic grill. And over here, on this side, I had all kinds of additions, condiments for the sauces, spices for the meat. Barbecue sauce, ketchup, fried onions, fried mushrooms, all kinds of sweet and sour sauce, you name it. I had it all over here, right? Wonderful, right? Just like the dinner you're about to get in a few minutes. Okay? Now, let's just imagine that I come in and I say, Chevra, I'm sorry, but there are no... We're canceling this for tonight because there are no sauces. And there's no barbecue sauce, there's no sweet and sour sauce, there's no ketchup, there's no mustard, there's none of these spices. All we got is the steaks. So forget it, right? Let's close up shop. And you guys say, what? No, we want it just the way it is. We don't need any extras. The mitzvot are like the delicious things. But we give ta'amei ha-mitzvot. As is he said, ta'amei ha-mitzvot are tastes, flavors, which give us an extra appreciation, an extra taste. Is it the reason why Hashem commanded it? Of course not. I don't know. Is it the reason why we do it? For sure not. But it does give us, when we have a time for the mitzvah, we're logical beings. We like to do things we understand. We like to do things we think we understand. So therefore, we enjoy it more. We have an extra time. And that is what ta'amei ha-mitzvot are. If we do mitzvot like an eved from Yira, that's the mitzvah itself. When I want to instill the ava of Hashem, the extra fervor, the extra hitlavut, the extra flavor, that's where ta'amei ha-mitzvot come in. But really, we're striving to do the mitzvah for the mitzvah's sake. We, through the course of our shiurim, are going to be dealing with the halachic aspects. We're also going to talk about ta'amei ha-mitzvot, some kind of things to understand things better. But realize, this is not the reason why we do things. We do things because Hashem commanded, whether we understand it completely or not. We do it because it's Shulchan Aruch, because that's the halacha. I don't understand it yet. I will understand it. I'm going to look into it more. I'll try and understand it better. It's not going to affect one iota my Maisa Mitzvah. Can't. Question? Mishpatim are things which the reasons are so obvious. Mishpat are things which are together the mitzvot sichliyot, which we would understand. What do we do all day? We do kosher mishpat. We learn things which make sense. We talk about the svarot of din, of nigo, whatever it is. That's we do things which make sense. The mishpatim are dafka together mitzvot sichliyot, which we would be able to understand even without the Torah commanding it. Okay? The chok, though, is dafka the rule, okay, to teach us this rule, that we do mitzvot even if we don't understand the reason. That's the example. Where do we know it from? From the chok. From the chukim. From the chanam. That's true for everything. Yeah. We have to do the maisa mitzvah, okay? The maisa mitzvah means the action, and the real darga that we're striving for is to do mitzvot on both levels. But ava means b'tzura medukdeket, to do the mitzvah exactly, without any kind of additions, okay? Even without the ava, I'm going to do it. But we strive to do the mitzvot both with yira and ava. That's the high level. It's not a question of better. We need both. But first has to be Yira. That's first and foremost. When you do it with Yira, then on top of that, you do it with Av.
Okay, Chevra. Lamaisa, we have more to discuss. Next week we're going to move on, hopefully finish this part of the topic and move on to something else. See you next week.
What works would you suggest?